If you would take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 11 with me, Matthew chapter number 11. Before we stand and read the scripture, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop to one of the greatest, if not the greatest, invitation that's ever been given to man. Now, there's a lot in this invitation, and I'll in no way be able to cover all of it, but I want to kind of highlight some things. And I want to preach to you this morning on the secret to the victorious Christian life. The secret or the process of living the victorious Christian life. I want to ask you a few questions prior to getting into the reading of the scripture, and then I'll give you a little backdrop. Many times, and I was tempted to do it myself, is just start right at verse number 28 and read verse 28 through 30. But you know, I don't know that we could get the full teaching of the text without understanding the context in which it was given. And I believe all the scriptures that way. Some, it's a little easier to get the teaching of the text without the context, though it should always be considered in the context. I think the context is important here, and for that reason, I want to give you a little background on it. But before I do, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Are you tired? Now, don't answer them out loud. Now, when I say tired, I'm not talking about the kind of tired that needs a nap. I'm not talking about the kind of tired that needs a vacation or that needs just a day off, just to rest your body. I'm talking about a tired that's weighing and pressing on your life, in your life, your mind, your spirit, your soul. It's a tiring that can be overwhelming. It's a tiring that could almost cause us to feel hopeless. But it's a tiring that's very real. And it comes with life. Jesus knew this. And that's why he mentioned some things in this passage of Scripture. Now there's, as I can tell, two types of rest that every person needs. The first is the rest that would bring peace with God. It's a terrible thing to be at enmity with God. And yet the Bible teaches because of our sin, we are born into sin, and therefore we are at enmity with God. And the only way to make our peace with God, according to Romans chapter 5 and other verses of Scripture in the Bible, is to come to God seeking forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. I and myself cannot make peace with God. I have something to do with making peace with God, but I must trust what has already been done, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ, so that he, as our mediator, can allow me to come to God through him for the forgiveness of sin that has caused my enmity with God. I'm glad that I have received Jesus as my Savior. I hope that you have. You say, well, I'm at church, aren't I? Well, you don't. That's not receiving Jesus as your Savior. Now, thank God for church. I'm glad for church. I'm thankful for the church. Christ purchased the church with his blood. This place is a place where God has given so that we could answer the call to worship, so that we could not just gather, but so that we could, as the Bible says, assemble. And there's a difference, and I'm not going to get into that this morning, but you need to look that up. There is a difference between gathering things and assembling things. And so things that are assembled need to be connected. You can gather, now I said I wasn't going to get into this, and here I am. You can gather things without assembling them. But when you assemble things, you put them together. And when we assemble as the body of Christ, and we need to understand what our place is in the body of Christ so that we can exercise our gifts in the assembly. There's a big difference. Sometimes, well, we know we're just going to gather over here and gather over there. Well, they gather everywhere, but the church of the living God assembles themselves together. And I'm thankful for the church. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the call to worship that God has placed in my heart when He saved me by His grace. God places a big emphasis on the church, but the church will not and has never gotten anyone to heaven. Never. And so there's this tiredness, there's this toilsome, there's this emptiness, there's this loneliness that comes with being at enmity with God. And when we get saved in the grace of God, we receive a rest. That rest is mentioned in the scripture we're going to look at here in just a moment. But then there's a different rest, though it is the same English word in our English text. It is a different word that Jesus spoke in His invitation that He gave to this group of people. It is a rest that does not just deal with the enmity of God, but now it goes beyond that, and it goes beyond pardon, and it goes to purpose. Because even once you get saved, well, now you have been tasked, I have been tasked with doing the will of God. Now, God will not task me with something that He will not equip me for the task. But yet, I have a choice, just like I have a choice, and please don't miss this, I have a choice to come to Jesus and be saved and find pardon and have that rest. But now, as a Christian, I also have a choice if I'm going to come in total surrender. And every Christian has to make this decision. There may be some here this morning, I don't know. I don't know people's hearts. I know there was a time in my life, and there continues to be, that I have to continue to go back there and say, God, I give all of me to all of You. I'm not talking about salvation. That's a one-time transaction. And praise God, the transaction for me has been done. I hope it has for you. I'm talking about something deeper. I'm talking about a rest for your souls, a rest that's going to teach me, and it's going to help me. It's going to develop me, and it's going to help me to discover what God has for my life. See, when I got saved, I discovered what Jesus had done for my sin, and that led me to salvation. But now that I am saved, I need to understand why God left me here. Because God left me here for a purpose. And I want to fulfill that potential that God, when He saved me, locked in me. I want to fulfill that potential. And I pray to God that every person under the sound of my voice this morning would give that some thought. What potential has God given to me? So, preacher, I'm not worth much. Well, you're worth a whole lot. Now, this old world might not put a value on you or put a value on me, but the Lord put a value on us in so much that He was willing to go to Calvary and die for our sin. He suffered, brethren. He suffered the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. Yes, it was so that we could go to heaven. Yes, it's so that we could have eternal life. But it was also that we could find purpose in this life, so that we could find fulfillment in this life, so that we could accomplish His purposes and do His will in this life. And just like I had a choice, just like you had a choice in receiving Jesus as our Savior, we also have a choice. Are we going to allow Jesus to be our Lord? You say, wait a minute now, I believe once you receive Him as your Savior, you receive Him as your Lord. Well, that's up for debate, serious debate. And I just don't think that at all. There's no way you'll ever convince me that every person that's saved, Jesus is their Lord. Possibly even some that are here today. You see, the difference is this. For Jesus to become my Savior, I had to receive His crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. For me to accept Jesus as my Lord, I had to crucify myself. There's a big difference. There's two crosses that are involved in the Christian life. One, Jesus bore at Calvary, and I thank God that He did. He bore my sin in His body on the tree. But to be His disciple and to follow Him and to understand what it is to be totally surrendered to Him and for Him to be the Lord of my life, I need to take up my cross and follow Him daily. Now, there's a difference, brethren. There's a difference. And I want to talk to you about that second cross. I want to talk to you about that second rest that is mentioned in our text. Matthew 11 is one of my favorite chapters, has been for years. I can still recall the day in Sharon and I's life where this passage of Scripture became a reality to us. I cannot give you the date. I do not know many of the details, but I know we were in a meeting at our home church, at Freedom Baptist Church. Brother Sammy Allen was preaching, and when we got home that night, I am telling you, God done something in my heart that made me want to just crawl into my front door, crawl up to the altar of my bedside, and beg God, God, I want all of your will for my life. I don't want to just casually go through this thing called salvation. I just don't want to casually go through this thing called life. I don't want to be up and down, off and on, hot and cold. I don't want that inconsistency. God, I want something real. I need something. I need your power in my life. I don't want to do it halfway. I want to be all in, Lord. And Sharon and I yielded ourselves to God that night. Now, we've had to do it since then. Please don't take what I'm saying. Please don't take what I'm preaching this morning and think, well, you know, there's that second heaven of grace, and the pastor got the fullness of the Holy Ghost and this and that. Well, you can be full of the Holy Ghost. And we should be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But now when you get full, I'm going to tell you something. You're a leaky vessel, and so am I. And we're going to have to be refilled again. So what's going on here? Matthew 11, don't miss it. In Matthew chapter 11, in the first few verses of Scripture here, actually in verses 1 through 15, I'm not going to go in detail because I want to get to the main point and lessons of this chapter. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was in prison, and he said, you know, would you go ask him, is he the Christ that should come, or should we look for another? And I want you to notice Jesus' explanation to them. He said in verse 4 and 5, and I'm not going to read it all, but he said this in verse 4. He said, you go show John again those things which you do hear and see. And he laid out what he was going to do. And he said, I want to explain something to you. And I call this the explanation. He said, this is why I'm here. I'm here to fulfill prophecy. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here to open the gate. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And then he passed from that into verse number 16. He said this. He said in verse 16, he said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? The door's been opened to you. I've explained to you. I've told you over and over again, God, my Father, sent me here. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I came with an express purpose to draw men to God, to save men from their sin. And you will not hearken to my voice. Still going on today, isn't it, brethren? Still going on today. And he said, where am I going to liken this generation? He said, you want to do it your way. Now, again, I don't have time to go into this, but I urge you to read verses 16 through verse number 24. After he gave them an explanation, he laid some heavy condemnation on them. And he said, God is not going to bend to your way. He said, God's not going to bend to your way. If you're going to get what God has for your life, you're going to bend before him and do it his way. Amen. Pride will make us think, well, you know what? God's going to do it my way or it's not going to get done. It won't get done. And it needs to be done, brethren. It needs to be done. And I think we live in a world where people just think, well, you know what? Me and God's got this little thing worked out. No, God doesn't have a little thing worked out with you. God did all that before the foundation of the world when he, God the Father and God the Son, got together and said, this is what we're going to do before the foundation of the world. God doesn't go to man and say, let's work out a little plan. Amen. But we're living in that day where man thinks so highly of himself that he thinks he's got his little deal with God. No, it doesn't work that way, brethren. Please hear what I'm saying this morning. It doesn't work that way. And so he moves from explanation to condemnation, and then he goes to invocation. He begins to pray, and I tell you now, this is where he starts leading up. I don't want you to miss this. Basically, what he says in verse number 25 through 27, he said, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have a plan. I want you to look at what he said here. He said, you've hid some things from the wise and prudent. These people that say that it's going to be my way or no way, you've hid it from them. He said, but I'm glad that you've revealed it unto the babes. To those that are willing to come to you in childlike faith. Are you listening this morning, church? Please hear me. To those that will humble themselves under your mighty hand and come to you and say, in my hand, nothing I bring. God, simply to the cross I cling. God, if anything's going to get done in my life, you're going to do it. I put myself at your feet and I say, God, do something in my life. I need you to do something in my life. I'm broken. I'm spent. I'm exhausted. I have nothing to offer, God. My way is broke. My way is wrong. I just don't have it, God. I don't have it. I can't do life. God, I need you. I thank God for the day in my life that I came to this realization. God, I need you. I can't do this. And Jesus prayed and he said, Father, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I get to give my life so people can come to you. I'm glad for the joy that was set before him, brethren. He endured the cross. Are you listening? That doesn't mean it was a picnic. It just means that he loves you that much. He loves me that much. He loves the world so much. And then he said this. As you looked out over that congregation, and this is what I'm going to ask you to stand in verse number 28. This is the greatest invitation that's ever been given. Please stand. And this is what he said. He said, come unto me. What a statement. You know, what a statement. That's amazing to me. Come unto me. I can't say that. You can't say that. There's no one in the history of mankind that is qualified to say that except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come unto me. Think about that. Think about what Jesus says about himself. No person in the history of mankind would stand up and say some of these things. Watch it now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Aren't you glad that he didn't put any restrictions? You've just got to realize you're tired now. You've just got to realize that it's not going to get better in your own strength. You must realize you're not the answer. And once you realize that, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a statement. That's amazing to me. You say, well, preacher, I've read that 1,000 times. I've read it probably 2,000. It still amazes me. You come to me. You got to realize who these people are looking at. We know who he is. They thought, isn't that Joseph's son? Wait a minute. Isn't that the carpenter? Isn't that that guy from Nazareth? Come unto me. Oh, he's not a peasant from Nazareth, I'll tell you that. He's the Lord of glory. What a promise. You come to me. You come to me. All of you. And I'll give you rest. What a statement, brethren. What a statement. Then he said this. Take my yoke. He didn't say, I'm going to put it on you. He didn't say, now if you come to me, I'm going to put my yoke on you. He said, no, once you come to me, you have another decision to make. Coming is the first decision for the first rest. But then there's a second decision to be made. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now look at this next statement. For I am meek and lowly of heart. What person, if anybody in this congregation, anybody you know, I know, anybody alive, were to stand before us and say, got something I need to tell you this morning. I am meek. And lowly in heart. I don't feel that way when he says it. I would look at you kind of cross-eyed if you said it. But when he says it, I'm so thankful. Because I know it to be so. I am meek and lowly in heart. Here's that second rest. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Are you tired? Is there someone here this morning that's never been saved now? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about being brought up in a Christian home. I'm not talking about church attendance, Bible reading, good deeds. I'm talking about, have you ever, ever been so tired? Have you, of your sin, of yourself, of your way, under the condemnation of God, you crawled up to Calvary and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I don't have anything to save me from this. God, please have mercy on me. You say, preacher, I don't know if I prayed the right thing. It's not about a prayer. It's about a mindset. It's about a heart condition. It's about a realization, please hear me now, of who you are and what he's done for you, and saying, I received that. I'm coming. God, I need that rest. Have you done that? And then if you have, which I believe that most would say, I've done that, Pastor. I've done that. Have you taken that yoke? Have you taken his yoke? Have you gone to him and got fitted? Because he's got one that fits you. I want you to know this now. Please don't miss this. There's a tailor-made yoke for you. When you get saved, that he's waiting for you to ask, put that yoke on me, Lord. I want you to guide me now. I want you to lead me. I want you to teach me. I want to learn your ways. I want to learn about you. I know you're meek. I understand you're lowly in heart, and I want that to be me. I want to learn from you so I can live life the way it was intended to be lived before sin. Are you there? You tired? You say, I'm tired. Are you tired enough? Are you tired enough? Has the weight of the world, the weight of the way of the world, of society, of sin, of your way, my way, our way, has the weight of it got you to the place to where now you're saying, yoke me up, Lord. Yoke me up, God. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do it. God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Yoke me up. Are you there? When you get there, God will give you a rest like this world knows nothing about. Amen, church? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And God will make his purpose so clear that nothing else will do except for you to fulfill his greatest potential in your life. It'll be a quest. I want all that God has for me. I don't want to miss any of it. I'm going to stay in the yoke. Father, help us in these moments we have together. Help me to be a blessing. God, help me to unload this burden you've placed on my heart to your people. Bind back the forces of evil and the devil. And give us clear minds, listening ears, sensitive hearts, to hear what the Spirit saith to the church this morning. God, I'm your man, and I'm your servant, and I yield myself to you the best I know how. I'm handling your word, and so I pray that you would help me in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned to you in verse number 28, Jesus said, come unto me. The word come there, it's very simple. It just means leave where you are and get where I am. That's what being saved is. Saved is leaving where you are and going to where Jesus is. And Jesus said, come. Now, he didn't say do. He said, come. You come. He didn't say come to the church. I'm not going to spend much time here. But if there is someone here today that's never been saved, I do want you to listen to this. He didn't say come to the preacher. He didn't say come to the religious leaders. He didn't say come to the parents. He didn't say come to the law. He didn't say come to your good deeds or your works. He said come unto me. Me. A person. The only person where sin and rest. Sin can be forgiven. Rest can be found. Jesus is the only way. The Bible is very clear on that. And yet there are many today who will not accept the clear biblical truth. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm going to say that again. Neither is there salvation in any other. Even in Baptist circles, that doesn't go over too well. But in the world in which we live, people don't want to hear that there's only one way to heaven. Even those that are a little religious don't want to hear, well, you're telling me that your way is the only way? No, I'm telling you, God's way is the only way. It's the only way, brethren. You say, well, preacher, we know that. Well, there's a whole big world outside of this church that doesn't realize this. And they're looking for some other way when the Bible has made it clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. There's one God. One mediator. Please don't miss this. Between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. It's him, brethren. And so Jesus said, come unto me. Come. Aren't you glad that God made it that way? I say, preacher, I've come. Well, aren't you glad that God showed you that's the way you have your sin forgiven? There are many that are steeped in false religion. There are many that are steeped in false teaching and deception, believing that it's Christ and something. Christ and the law. Christ and good works. Christ and tradition. Christ and the church. Christ and this. Christ and that. It's Christ alone. And I'm glad that God made it that way. So he said, come. Come. Leave where you are. Leave that restless situation. Leave the emptiness and the loneliness. Leave the toil and the trying. And start trusting. Trust him enough to come. When you turn and come to him, it is a sign of trust in him. I take you at your word and I come. Amen. I'm so glad that God made it that simple. Come unto me, all ye. Aren't you glad? Now, he didn't just say all you. Please notice what he says. God says things intentionally, brethren. Sometimes we don't. He said all ye, but he didn't say just all of you come. He said all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're not going to go to Jesus until you realize your need. And he said when you feel your need, when you realize you are heavy, you're under the burden of sin, when you feel that you are heavy laden, you are bogged down, you are weighed down, you are bowed over, not out of reverence to God, but out of pressure from sin in this world. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, there's no doubt that he had the Pharisees in mind here. They were of a system of works. They had so many laws, they couldn't even keep up with them all. They were so full of self-righteousness, and this is the way you've got to do, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And Jesus said, no, you come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Aren't you glad it's that way? And then he made this promise. He said, I will. That's not a consideration. I will. That's a guarantee. Amen? He said, you come to me and I will. I will. Not I might. Not I'll think about it or I'll see what we can work out. He said, no, you come to me just the way you are. He didn't say, rest up a little bit and then come to me. A lot of folks try to clean up and then get to Jesus. They got it backwards. Am I right? Before I got saved, I thought I've just got to get some things squared away. And I would think about it from time to time. I didn't tell anybody because I was ashamed. I didn't want anybody to know that I was thinking about religion. And I thought about it from time to time because of the seeds that had been planted in my heart. But I didn't. I was ignorant. And I thought, well, you know what? I've got to give up some things. I've got to quit some things before God will receive me. That was in ignorance, brethren. It was in ignorance. I was being deceived by the enemy. So many are today. Jesus said, you come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You come just as you are. Aren't you glad Jesus is that way? Praise Amen. God. I'm glad that it's that way, brethren. Amen. And he said, I will give you rest. Now, that's rest that we find from pardon. I can't tell you the rest that I felt the night that I got saved in the grace of God. I can't even talk about it without getting emotional. When I think about what God has done for me, and you are the same way. If you're saved, you go back and you realize what God done for you. Now, I know we're different. We have different emotional makeups, and I understand that, but there's just something that just tugs in your heart when you go back to that time when God saved you by His amazing grace. I remember old brother Steve Butler used to stand up here, and he used to stand up and say, when I got saved that night, he said it was like God just reached down and lifted a ton of blocks off of my back. Amen, brother Steve. I know what you're talking about. Amen. You know what he's talking about too if you've been saved. God gave you rest. Rest. You entered in to peace with God. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be at peace with God. Because it wasn't until I had peace with God that I could be at peace with myself. And you're the same way. I want you to look at verse 28, and if you haven't already, I'm going to ask you to underline or highlight a word, give. Now listen, this is not for sale. It can't be earned. It's a gift. He said, you come and I'll give. That's what he said. Aren't you glad for the gift of salvation? God help me never to take this for granted. You know, my old flesh... Good night, I can't stand myself. I'll think, you know what, God owed me this, or you know, it was meant to be. I'll tell you what was meant to be, for me to die in my sin and go to hell were it not for the grace of God. Amen. For me to live a miserable life. My life was miserable without Jesus. Thank God now I'm having the time of my life. What would my life have been without Jesus? Thank God I don't have to go there. I'm saved. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know where these people are picking up. Well, it's just such a toilsome thing to be a Christian. Who told you that? That's nowhere in this book. Being saved is the greatest joy you'll ever experience in your life. Well, being saved is one of the greatest joys. Being saved and serving Jesus is the greatest joy. Because you can be saved and not serving Jesus and you not have the fullness of joy. I can too. Been there. But when we serve Jesus, when we enter this second rest that I'm going to flip to right now, I'm telling you, things pick up, brethren. Are you tired? Say, preacher, I'm saved. Well, you have peace with God. But I'm asking you now, do you have the peace of God? Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Not the peace with God. No, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I mean, you can't put it into words. I sit at my desk a couple of days this past week trying to think, now how am I going to talk about the peace of God? Brethren, I can't put it into words. It's not something that can be explained, but I praise God it can be experienced. I'm experiencing it. But every now and then this old flesh will puff up. It will. Rebel against something that God wants, or think, well, you know what, I'll do this. God, you take some time off, I got this, and I get out of that yoke and put the old yoke of bondage back on and think I'm going to do this myself. What a ridiculous way to live life. Have you entered that first rest? Answer that question in your heart. Have you? Do you have rest? Knowing that you have peace with God, you're going to heaven if you're saved. You are. The question is not if you're going to heaven. The question is what state will you be in as you travel there? I don't mean geographically what state. I meant spiritually. And so he says this, and I want you to highlight a few words. You highlight that word give. Thank God for the gift of salvation. But now watch this. There's some words, if you haven't highlighted them, would you highlight the word take? And then go down, if you would, and highlight this, learn. You see that in verse 29? Take my yoke. Learn of me. Here's the process, okay? So you've come to Jesus. He bids you come. You came. You came unto him, not the church, not the preacher, not a system, not a religion. You came to him. You trusted him to come to him. He kept his promise and gave you rest. Now we're going ready to go to the next step. He said, now once you've done that, and here's where some are today. He's calling you. Not to come unto him so that you can have that first rest. But those that have, some of you, he's saying, now take. Take. You need to take my yoke. You need to give up on your way. Now, this is not easy. It's a lot easier than we make it. Because we have been so programmed by a system that teaches us we've got to do it. And there's a certain way to do it. And now we have this teacher on the inside who is the Holy Spirit of God when you get saved, who is instructing us what to do from that time. And he said, the first thing you need to do is you need to take my yoke. Have you done it? Oh, preacher, things are good between me and God. Well, that wasn't the question. The question is, are you following Jesus? Where he goes, do you go? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. You see, when he said, take my yoke, everybody there knew what he was talking about. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, most people think yoke is the middle of an egg in our society today. But everyone knew in this environment, in this region, and at this time, they knew that when he said, take my yoke, he immediately was talking about service. He was talking about surrender. He was talking about training. He was talking about molding. He was talking about a come alongside. He was talking about someone that will go with you in your burdens of life. Someone that will show you and teach you and guide you. We need this, brethren. I need this. We all need this. Even as a Christian, we can't do this thing called life without Jesus. We can't just put him on the throne of our heart and say, well, now you sit there and I've got it from here, Lord. No, Lord, I need you to preach. I can't preach without you. I need you to sing. I can't sing without you. I need you to do my job. I need you to raise my family. I need you to be a good Christian. God, I need you. I can't do anything without you. I mean this. I'm not just saying it. I'm just not quoting a scripture. In my heart, God, I know that I can't do anything without you. Please help me. God, don't leave me to myself. Forgive me for my ignorance. Forgive me of my pride. And pride will say, nah, you've got this. You can do this. That's easy. It is? No, I'll show you what's easy. Verse number 30. He said, my yoke is easy. That yoke you're in? No, that's not easy. That's what drove you to go to him to begin with. Take. Learn. See that in verse number 29? Learn. Look at verse number 29. You shall, here's a very, very interesting word. Find. Oh, listen. I just know that I know. There's someone here today on a quest. There's someone here today. You're searching. Is this it? I'm saved and I'm hot and cold. I'm up and down. I'm in and out. I'm inconsistent. Is there some consistency? Can I get some consistency in my life? Some joy? I hear people talk about these things. God, I want it. God, do you have something for me? I have a tailor-made yoke for you. Take my yoke. Go back. Look what he said. It's a decision. I'm going to give you three words, and I'll close after we give you some thoughts on these three words. I hope you'll write these down. If not on a piece of paper, at least in your mind. Number one, decision. You must make a decision after you come to Christ to take His yoke. Have you made that decision? You say, well, it'll just happen, preacher. No, it won't. Please hear me. No, it will not. You say, well, I'm just automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. Who told you that? You have to pray and ask God to empty you of yourself, to fill you with His Spirit, to cleanse you of sin in your life. I have to do the same. We're just not automatically filled with the Spirit. It's something that we understand that we need from God, and there's some things that must be done. And in order to get into this yoke that I speak to you about now, in this second rest, I must take it. You see that word? It's an action word. It involves a decision. It involves me surrendering my will to God's will. Not my will be done, but Thy will be done. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it Your way. And so I'm taking Your yoke. Now, what is a yoke? Is there anyone in here that doesn't know? Now, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand and say, I'm not really sure what a yoke is. Raise your hand. And I'm not talking about the middle of an egg. That doesn't count. Everybody knows what a yoke is. Great. I don't believe you, so I'm going to tell you anyway. I do believe you, but I just want to tell you something about the yoke. It's like a harness. And it's fitted, usually, for the express purpose of taking someone or something, an ox usually, that has done the work, that knows the work, that understands the work, and then taking someone who doesn't any of these things and putting them in like this coupling. The first one has a coupling, and then there's a second harness that fits on those beasts. And so wherever this first one, who is the guide, goes, the second one will follow. Just that's. And he said, now you take, he didn't say take a yoke. Take my yoke. Don't take the yoke of the pastor. Don't take the yoke of the parent. Don't take the yoke of a system. No, you take my yoke. Is that what he said, church? Come on. Take my yoke. And you get in this yoke, and then wherever I go, you go. And then he said, look at it, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Let me teach you. Let me teach you to live the way I saved you to live. I want to teach you to live the Christian life, the life that's patterned after my life. We are to walk as He walked. Isn't that what 1 John says? Sure it is. We are to walk even also as He walked. But in order to do that, I've got to get in the yoke with Him. I don't have what it takes in and of myself just to do that. I must get in the yoke. Are you in the yoke? Have you taken that yoke? Have you said, Lord, I want to do it Your way? I don't want to do it my way. Now listen, there's going to be some people that's going to hear this. They're going to go out and they're going to do it their way. They're just going to say, well, no, my way's working. For what? For who? For the kingdom or for you? It's what we do for our sake or God's sake? When you say your way is working, what do you mean by that? Who are you talking about? Who am I talking about when we say that? And so I hope we get it this morning. I do. This is going to set somebody free if we'll just get it. Or help someone to understand, thank God that I'm in the yoke. I believe many of you are, and I pray God that you will just stay in the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Look at it. Take my yoke upon you. It's a decision. It's a decision. You must decide. You must choose. You must get in that yoke. And when you do, wherever He goes, you'll go. He's going to teach. He's going to guide. He's going to show you. And you'll learn. You'll learn to walk as He walked. You'll learn to love as He loved. Amen? Won't we do that? We'll learn to deal with situations as He dealt with situations. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, here's just a couple of things that he laid out. He said, look at verse number 29. He said, for learn of me. Now, watch this. Semicolon. You say, I didn't know you was going to get grammatical. See, you never know what could happen at church on a Sunday morning. In other words, let me give you an example of what I speak to you about. When I say you will learn of me, I mean you'll find that I am meek. See, a lot of people think, well, boy, if I follow Jesus around, I don't know how that's going to work out for me. I do. Jesus said, I'm humble. I'm gentle. I'm gracious. I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. Boy, I tell you, that phrase, and it just means I don't make myself of reputation. Isn't that what Jesus, he didn't make himself of any reputation. Isn't that Philippians 2? See, Jesus' life wasn't about what making himself something. Jesus' life was about glorifying the Father and helping other people. And he said, so if you'll get in my yoke, that's what you'll do. Why? Because I'm meek that way. I'm humble that way. And I'm lowly in heart. I don't make life about me. See, your yoke, my yoke, will make life about us. And we might as well just go ahead and say it, brethren. It's the truth. But when I get in his yoke, he helps me not to make life about me. He'll take care of me. Amen? He'll bear that burden. Please, he'll bear that burden. He'll give that rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, verse 29, and learn of me. And I could go into so much more. My time is up. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. What a statement. Can I tell you that I have been serving this Jesus for over 44 years, and I found what he has said is so. He's all of this that I know about, and he's much more that I don't know about yet. I'm still learning of him. I'm still learning of him. And therefore, I want to stay in the yoke. Stay in the yoke, brethren. If you're in the yoke, stay in the yoke. Don't become unyoked. Don't unhook from the yoke. There's a society out there that'll laugh at you and mock at you and scorn at you. When they find out you're in the yoke, they'll say you're a fool. Be like that man that said, everybody's a fool for somebody. I'm a fool for Jesus. Who are you a fool for? Stay in the yoke. Stay in the yoke. Why? The first word is decision. The second word is discovery. You're going to find something. Look what he said. You shall find rest. Now that's the second rest. Thank God for this rest. I tell you, now I don't want anybody to leave here and say, well, you know what? When I get in that yoke, I'm going to have nothing to do, no responsibilities. That is not so. There's going to be storms. It's just you'll be in the yoke with somebody through the storm. He'll guide you right through it. Jesus guides you through the field. He'll guide you through the storms too. Amen. He'll guide you through the work. Hey, listen, when you get in the yoke, he guides in all of it. He'll guide you through your lesson preparation. He'll guide you through your parenting. He'll guide you in your marriage. He'll guide you in your responsibilities in life. Stay in the yoke. Stay in the yoke. If you're not in the yoke, take the yoke. Take the yoke. Well, you'll find rest into your souls. What a rest. I challenge you to go home. It's two different words. That word rest there, it just simply means that there is someone helping. And the Bible, I've heard this verse of Scripture quoted so wrong so many times. Well, you know what the Bible says? We're all co-laborers together for God. The Bible nowhere says that. We're co-laborers together with God, which means get in the yoke. Get in the yoke. I don't have time to go into it, but look at verse 30. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean? The word easy there means this, and here's our third word, discovery. Our first word, decision. Take the yoke. Second word, discovery, or development. Learn of me. Third word, discovery. You'll find rest. Why? He said, my yoke, look at it. He said, my yoke is easy. What does that mean? I wonder if I ask everybody to write down what that meant. My yoke is easy. Does that mean the Christian life is easy? Can't mean that. Amen. How many of you can testify? No, I'm sure it can't mean that, preacher. Come on, raise your hands. I'm sure it can't mean that. You know, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean, well, you get in a yoke with Jesus and life will be easy. It doesn't mean that at all. I looked the word up. Easy. Here it is, according to Strong's. Well fitted. I like that. I like that. I like that. Your yoke's not going to fit me. My yoke's not going to fit you. There's a tailor-made yoke for every individual that God saves. You take that yoke. It's well-fitted. It's tailor-made for you. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? I don't have to wear someone else's yoke. I never know what you're going through. Not fully. We never know what each other's going through. We don't know where we are. But I'm glad that if we're in the yoke with Jesus, He knows. So I'm not wanting your yoke. I need to take His yoke and put on me. You do the same. That's what that word easy means. It means well-fitted. It means tailor-made. It means gracious. It will not chafe. It will not rub you wrong. Say, well, I'm afraid if I get in the yoke with Jesus, it's going to be painful. No. Nope. Doesn't mean there won't be painful experiences. But Jesus knows how to give comfort in the painful experiences. And my burden is light. It just simply means this. It means less. Less. My burden is light. Less. Isn't it amazing how you can stand to your feet? I was thinking about this week, and perhaps you've thought about it. You probably have. The devil's told me all the lies he's told you. He doesn't come up with new lies. He just tells the same old ones over and over, and people believe it. Well, now, if you serve God, it's going to be rough. It's hard. God's way is grievous. It's grievous. No. The Bible never teaches that. Actually, it teaches the exact opposite. Please don't believe the lie of the devil. If you don't serve God, it's going to be hard for you. Listen to me, folks. It's going to be hard for you if you don't serve Him with your life now. It doesn't have to be that way. But you do need to take the yoke. The world says, well, you know, unyoke yourself and be free. Is that anything like a train saying, I want to get off these tracks? I don't like being told this is the only way I can go. I'm just going to get off the tracks and I'm going to do it my way. Yeah. Not very free. And we could go on and on. There's no freedom in being unyoked. It's bondage. Freedom comes in yoking with Christ because He has promised rest. Bow your head with me if you would. I'm going to